all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06, and nice to have you along on this final day of July. We will be in August tomorrow morning. Coming up this morning yet, we're looking to talk to somebody at the Wisconsin Public Education Network's annual Summer Summit. We've been promoting it the past couple of weeks on our homeroom segment, and now they're all gathered in Madison for a day of guest speakers and topical discussions about public schools, and so we'll talk more about that later in the hour. We'll talk to Todd Alba. We'll talk a bit about the Paris Olympics, the U.S. women's gymnastics team winning gold yesterday, that and so much more. Brittany's still under the weather here. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny with light fog and 67 degrees. Missed out on the severe thunderstorms in the Tigerton area from the Rib Mountain split that we explained yesterday. Busy mowing lawns in Tigerton after a doctor's appointment in Shawano. I hope and pray that Brittany is feeling better. And Greg Bach in Waukesha has been the one that she's communicated with that she still feels like garbage, but hopefully will be feeling better soon and back with us before too long.
The exact words were crud.
Crud, yes. I love how even a scientist like Brittany will use crud, you know, instead of more apt scientific descriptions. When you feel like crud, you feel like crud. That's all. That's the best word for it. Our phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I mentioned that Todd will be along here near the end of the show, but then I'm going to be filling in for part of Todd's show at noon today. I believe he is playing a little baseball hooky, is part of a baseball matinee. Brewers taking on Atlanta at 1:10 this afternoon in Game 3 of that series, pregame at 12:35. On Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. As for last night, it was, well, I didn't see it. I was watching the Olympics, but it appears to be a rather forgettable matter. The Braves beat the Brewers 5-1. Brewers pitcher Joe Ross made his first appearance after a lower back strain caused him to leave on May 20th after one inning of pitching. He did retire 7 of the first 8 batters he faced, but then ran into serious trouble in the third. Again, Atlanta beating Milwaukee 5-1. Game 3 is this afternoon in Atlanta. Freddie Peralta will be getting the start there. Then the Brewers will be off and hitting the road once again. They will be in the nation's capital this weekend to play the Washington Nationals Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll have Monday off, and then they pick up again in Atlanta for a series against the Braves. After this afternoon's game, the Brewers will next be home a week from Friday, August 9th, to take on Cincinnati. It's a long homestand with Cincinnati, the LA Dodgers, and the Cleveland Guardians all coming to American Family Field. And again, you can catch a lot of those games on stations that are part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg, do you realize I made such a rookie mistake over here?
What's up?
I'm trying so hard to keep powered up with the caffeine. Yeah. You know how proud I am for finding that little, you know, hot plate to keep this coffee mug nice and warm?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've taken an unsatisfying sip and went, these things work better when you flip the switch and turn the burner on, you know? That's a nice glass of cold coffee I got right there. But we have commercial breaks and we have microwaves. So we'll
I tried to do this.
Yeah.
And you know, we all have those days, Pat. We always have those days.
We do. Yep. Unpacking some of the news for you at 7:10. One story I want to start with is actually in Arizona. There were elections there yesterday. Once again, Carrie Lake, certified Trumper wackadoodle, is going to be on the ballot. There was also a race in Phoenix for the office of Maricopa County Recorder. And the Republican incumbent there, Stephen Ricker, had been widely criticized by Republicans because he defended the state's voting system in 2020 against all these false claims that the election had been rigged. Well, yesterday, he got booted out of office. He was primaried, and Republican voters in Maricopa County showed up and ousted Ricker, that top elections official, for defending his state's election system against those false charges that the 2020 election had been stolen. He lost his primary race to Republican State Representative Justin Heap, a right-wing challenger who was lifted up by voters who distrusted the elections and especially mail-in voting, even though there was nothing wrong. As county recorder, Mr. Ricker oversaw voter registration and mail-in voting, a once obscure election post that is now a battlefield, according to the New York Times, for falsehoods about elections fraud. Mr. Ricker campaigned as a conservative who had cleaned up the voter rolls and made the office more transparent to the public and strengthened the procedures for verifying voter signatures and tracking ballots. He'd been endorsed by two Republican former governors, Jan Brewer and Doug Ducey. But Republican voters were highly critical of Ricker when he said correctly that the 2020 election had not been stolen. In fact, another Maricopa County Republican official suggested that she would lynch Mr. Ricker if he ever walked into a room with her. So the state representative Heap that defeated him helped galvanize that anger and mistrust, the Times writes, while not actually declaring whether he believed the 2020 election had been stolen. That's where we are right now, is that you just have to make somebody else look bad through rumors and innuendo, and that's enough for you to advance in the world these days. And this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves with more hateful rhetoric that sometimes leads to violence, which takes us to this story about a Wisconsin man, James Stearns of Fond du Lac, was convicted and sentenced to time already served on Monday for threatening to shoot state legislators back in 2022 if they passed a bill allowing teachers to carry firearms. Stearns was found guilty of making terrorist threats. That's a felony. And he was sentenced to 7 days in jail, which he had already served, and fined $500. The 75-year-old Stearns sent two emails in May of 2022 threatening to shoot legislators if they passed a bill allowing for teachers to be armed. It was something that had been discussed by Republican lawmakers just days after 19 children and two teachers were killed in Uvalde, Texas. I don't know that while I understand his frustration, maybe, with the prospect of arming teachers, I certainly think it's the world's dumbest idea and won't keep students safer, but it's easy politics. I wouldn't go so far as threatening to shoot people. And I'm not really sure that 7 days and time already served is going to be enough of a deterrent in that. But that's what he's been sentenced to. If you'd like to make a difference and try to see fewer of these stories and maybe clean up our Wisconsin legislature and help send some people to Washington that better represent your views, may I suggest starting on August 13th? Because there will be elections that day. In some cases, there will be primary elections, like the 3rd Congressional District for Democrats, the 8th Congressional District for Republicans, and some legislative districts. But there will also be statewide constitutional amendment questions for every voter in Wisconsin. These amendments are essentially an end run by Republicans who want to take away even more power from Governor Tony Evers. They don't have the votes to do it in the legislature, so they're trying to amend the state constitution during a sparsely attended August primary election. Do we really think it's a great idea to be amending our state constitution in elections where the fewest number of people vote? Well, that's what you do if you're trying to sneak something through. And so if you'd like to learn more about what's on the ballot on August 13th, head to myvote.wi.gov. We are in full campaign season now, which also means that you're seeing not only the candidates, but a lot of their surrogates traveling around the country and around the state. And there were definitely some visits in Wisconsin here recently that underscore that. There was Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who was in Northeast Wisconsin Tuesday as part of a tour of ports around the Great Lakes. According to the Fox 11 website, ports and waterways around the country have already received $17 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law. That'll help strengthen the supply chain. It'll speed up the movement of goods. It will reduce costs. It will reduce air pollution when all of this work is done. Buttigieg made two stops in Wisconsin. He first visited Menominee Harbor. That port received a $21 million investment from the bipartisan infrastructure law to reconstruct some deteriorating port infrastructure and increase rail capacity. He then traveled to the port of Manitowoc to hear from terminal operators, and he will end his Great Lakes ports tour at the port of Milwaukee, which received over $9 million to upgrade its agricultural export facilities to allow the port to ship more grain from Wisconsin farmers even faster. Buttigieg, of course, is one of those who's being considered for the vice presidential running mate spot for Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic nominee, but he's also been on a heck of a tear, primarily on Fox News, but elsewhere. There may be, Greg, nobody better when it comes to taking down some of these Republican talking points on a host of issues.
Oh, yeah.
You put those on Pete Buttigieg, he's got an answer, and he's got an answer that's going to connect with you and not just, you know, not just tit for tat in terms of insult for insult. That's not how it works for him.
No, he is very, I don't like using the term well-spoken. Of course, he's well-spoken, he's highly educated, but he speaks so well from the heart and mm-hmm. so passionately about what he believes, especially when it comes to this country, that I recommend watching his Daily Show interview from Monday with Jon Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were telling me about that. So yeah, he's getting some traction. And so is somebody from the USDA about the rural economy in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break and maybe get into this list that ChatGPT has put out of the greatest lead singers of rock and roll bands and who is the glaring omission. That's coming up live from Lake Wissota on Up North News Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This was from the number one album this day in 1976.
Are we really happy here with this lonely game we're playing?
That album was Breezin', and the artist was George Benson. 7:21 right now. You know, while we mentioned Pete Buttigieg and being able to give such great answers, Greg, you actually have a clip. Is it from The Daily Show or from one of his other many appearances recently?
It's from The Daily Show. It was on Monday. They were talking about various things. It was a very good interview, very long interview, and they brought up J.D. Vance. And I cut in half because the first part's kind of making fun of J.D. Vance in the sense that never has a VP candidate come to the stage with such a resounding thud.
True.
But what he really talks about in this clip I'm going to talk about is regarding J.D. Vance's attitude towards people who don't have children. And this was Pete Buttigieg's answer to that.
This strange idea that it's not just, he doesn't just say that being a parent gives you, an important role as a citizen, which I agree with, or that it gives you unique perspective on the future. It's that not being a parent makes you less. Like
I think that's absolutely how they feel.
He said, people who don't have children, this is a quote, have no physical commitment to the future of this country.
Wow.
And I just think about how, like, no physical commitment to the future. Like, when I was deployed to Afghanistan, I didn't have kids back then.
Right.
But I will tell you, especially when there was a rocket attack going on, my commitment to this country felt pretty, pretty physical.
Can I tell you something? This is why people love seeing you go on those shows, because that framing is perfect. Because it does, it points to that idea that who are you to tell what's in someone else's heart about what they feel about the future or what they feel about this country? And the sacrifices that you made, as you said, without having had children, were tremendous.
I mean, Jay and I have been talking about this topic all week, mm-hmm. and last week too, because it's a very hurtful thing to say. I mean, I don't have children. Jane doesn't have children. A lot of my friends don't have children. And to say that we have less involved, less at stake, less for the future is just, and the way he puts it, and when you watch him, he's upset. He's upset at this notion. And I just love
it. And rightly so. Yeah. Rightly so. He has as much right to be upset about that as, you know, as so many women have the right to be upset, whether it's about J.D. Vance's comments or just the Dobbs decision in itself. And what Buttigieg does is say, okay, you're angry, I'm angry, but let's turn that into something. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's what, you know, Kamala Harris did during her rally last night in Atlanta. 10,000 people packed into this arena to hear from Kamala Harris. And so what's J.D. Vance doing? He's doubling down on his hateful comments. And Donald Trump is trying to backpedal from Project 2025, saying, I know nothing about this thing that was written by all these people who worked in my administration. And there's that hashtag, everything Trump touches dies. And so many people who once went to work for this guy were so loyal to him, they have been thrown under the bus over and over again. There's a reason why 40 of Trump's former cabinet officers say they won't support him for re-election. Well, the latest name to that list is a guy named Paul Dans, who is part of the Project 2025 team. He was let go yesterday after Trump criticized Project 2025 and said that, you know, it doesn't represent his campaign. In fact, the Trump campaign put out the statement saying, reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed and should serve as notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well for you. To which I say, oh, please.
Yeah.
Stop it. Shut up. You know, especially when the guy running the Heritage Foundation is a guy named Kevin Roberts. He's just written a book about Project 2025 and how great it's going to be. And the foreword of the book was written by Trump's running mate, J.D. Vance, who writes in the foreword, it's time to circle the wagons and load the muskets. And he describes the Project 2025 ideas as an essential weapon in the fights that lie ahead. And he credits Kevin Roberts for turning the Heritage Foundation, quote, into the de facto institutional home of Trumpism. It's got Trump's name on it.
Ugh.
Now, since then, the subtitle and the cover of Kevin Roberts' book have been softened as scrutiny grows. The book was originally announced with the subtitle Burning Down Washington to Save America. And now the subtitle is Taking Back Washington to Save America.
Oh, my God.
It's so much kinder and gentler. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
And I also believe that Project 2025 is going to go away for good. No one will ever talk or see of it again. Everyone, it's safe now. Come on out. They're not waiting in the tall grass.
It's, again, how you find out the generational difference of the people that you work with, because on a Slack message about it, I responded with a GIF of Mike Myers from Wayne's World saying, shaw, and monkeys might fly out of my butt. And, you know, some people got it, and some people were like, where's that from? Then I felt so old. I just took another glass of Metamucil, and I was on my way.
It's okay, Grandpa. But come on over here.
So back to the other campaign. I talked about Secretary Buttigieg being in Wisconsin. So was the USDA's Undersecretary for Rural Development. And we have talked frequently on this program about the rural development arm of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's a very sprawling agency that deals not only with farmers, but markets and nutrition and all things that touch the rural economy. And the Rural Development Office has made so many investments all across rural Wisconsin. And the undersecretary, Basil Gooden, was in the state the past day or two. For example, was in New Glarus, to announce some funding for water infrastructure and to hear from local business owners about the direct impact that water quality and capacity have on the success of businesses and their communities. Gooden also went to Darlington to view progress on a new facility for one of the last county-owned hospitals in the state, getting $60 million in USDA investments and a partnership with Lafayette County that helped to build a new Memorial Hospital facility and address the healthcare needs. And now before people jump in and say, well, maybe the county shouldn't own hospitals. Okay, so who's in there? Which corporation is just rushing to come in there? I'll wait for an answer, but then I'd have a lot of dead air, and that's not good for radio. So when you have, I mean, this is a quote that dates way back to Abraham Lincoln, you know, about government providing the services that no other company or individual is rushing to attend to. And people are still getting sick across rural Wisconsin. And people still need clean water around rural Wisconsin. And people still need new jobs around rural Wisconsin. And roads and schools and broadband. And one side of the political spectrum can only talk about cuts. And one side is no longer just talking about the need to make investments, but is making investments. What do I always say? They're doing the work. Or the way the Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer put it yesterday, they have a new three-part plan to get stuff done. Except she doesn't use the word stuff. We've got a bleeped version of it I may try to play for you a little bit later on. As we continue on a Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. All right, we'll get to our homeroom segment and talk to Dr. Tim Slecker in just a moment. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. Let's see, Christina's got this morning's edition out and talks about some of the best deals you can find both at the State Fair and in and around the State Fair. There's one, for example, that deals with how to get one of the best deals on spotted cow, for example. There's a story about the Lumberjack Championships coming to Hayward and a bit more about Vice President Kamala Harris and the things that she has done the past 3 years as vice president, part of the Biden-Harris administration. So again, for all of that and more, head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe, and get signed on to our newsletter. Now, if you are a listener of Busted Pencils, you are very familiar with Dr. Tim Slecker, who is joining us now to talk a bit about the Wisconsin Public Education Network and the Summer Summit going on in Madison this week. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm not a doctor. That's my wife's job. But I understand you're having a problem with your dongle, with your computer. But I think you sound good. You look good. You know.
Are we allowed to talk about my dongle on the radio?
Only that. I would leave it just at the computer hardware end of it. Okay, all the other hardware we save for Dr. Lyerly or one of those other medical shows. So
exactly.
So, no. You know, I was at the Summer Summit last year. It was in West Milwaukee. It is such an enthusiastic gathering of educators and their supporters, their allies, their advocates. It's a way, I think, in part to realize that, you know, you're surrounded by friends and allies, even at a time when public education, and let's not kid ourselves, education in general, is under mm-hmm. attack more than ever before. You've been out there for, you know, the organization and start of this thing. Do you get that sense that, you know, they're feeling good this year as well, maybe even better than in past years?
First of all, yeah, the idea. So Wisconsin Public Education Network, this is their 10-year anniversary. They've been together as an organization, truly the number one organization of it. You know, again, people's like, is it a union? No, it's an organization of public school supporters. It's teachers, it's local people, it's people who used to be principals, and they're all coming together with this passion to say that our public schools are the bedrock of our democracy, are the cornerstones of our communities, and they are under attack. As you just said, Pat, there, what I saw yesterday, which was a real training session on organizing your community to get out the, you know, the word about how great your public schools are, that passion to say we have, there's an excitement. It's a devoted group of people who know what they're doing, but they also know that the attack on public education continues and continues to be funded by billionaires. And so sometimes it can feel absolutely overwhelming going into this work. But to realize, I think what you said, Pat, too, is you get to meet all these other people who are doing this same work, who have that same concern, that same passion for the public schools, and it inspires people. And I heard already last night people being inspired, and I can't wait today for the full all-day conference today.
It's very exciting to see what all they're going to be talking about. We've previewed two of the sessions. We talked to Jennifer Berkshire 2 weeks ago, who writes a book, The Education Wars. And then we also talked last week with Derek Gottlieb, who's running the session today called Lies, Damned Lies, and School Vouchers. But there are so many others here that talk about closing the resource gap for special education. There's also Cradle to College coming together and connecting the dots between childcare and education. There's more about science-based early literacy instruction. Every one of these things designed to show that education is always something organic. You know, there's not like one way to teach and it never changes. We wouldn't recognize what we saw back in the day. Other than that, it's rooted in compassion and trying to make education as good as possible.
It's compassion and advocacy, as you just said, for the best education for all children. You know, last night we interviewed the new, on Busted Pencil Show, we interviewed the new superintendent incoming from Madison Metropolitan School District, Dr. Joe Gothard. And he put out a question, you know, to everybody. He sent an email to the whole Madison community, but he asked this question. He said, every day we want to ask ourselves, how are the children doing? And reminding ourselves that we're asking that question because that's the purpose of public education, is to create that community wraparound nurturing. It's not just about test scores and, as you say, one way to teach. How are our children doing? Asking that question. You can hear that at the summit and the conference, this concern around children. Pat, one of the sessions I'm looking forward to going to today, just to, you know, throw out there, is the Wisconsin State Reading Association is going to be talking about, which is this big movement nationally, the science of reading and how we're going to address that. There's some concerns about this, quote, so-called science of reading. What does the science of reading mean? And does it potentially go against what you just said, Pat? Teachers being able to make decisions that make sense for their kids and being kind of confined by a very canned curriculum.
And not just a canned curriculum, but one that hasn't been funded because Republicans in the legislature didn't like some of the line item vetoes that Governor Evers put in the bill that created. It's called Act 20 that is, you know, ostensibly designed to improve literacy education. But first off, as we've talked with other guests, the fix may be a bit canned, as you say, in terms of limited options. Governor Evers tried to, you know, provide some more options. Republicans responded by saying, well, we're just going to sit on the $50 million that we'd originally allocated for this, giving schools yet another unfunded mandate.
Another unfunded mandate. And this is one of these things I've looked at this over the 30 some years. This is that you get kind of into this corner where it's like, okay, well, if you want us to do it, give us the money. I've almost kind of pushed back on it going, okay, without the money, you can't do it. And maybe it's not a bad thing to not, and I know this is kind of twisted logic, but if you don't have the money and you can't do it, well, then you can't do it. And maybe you shouldn't do it anyway, because without really looking at what is this whole for this, the science of reading. The science of reading is actually nothing to do about science. It's a marketing campaign to actually sell curriculum materials that are only provided by, typically, if you look who the curriculum providers are, they have huge donations to Republican causes. So this is where I'm going, okay, so if you don't have the money to buy this material, why don't you use this time to ask deeper questions? Well, maybe you don't want to buy it. Ask your teachers, ask your community, is this what's going to improve literacy instruction, or is this going to improve the bottom line of a few curriculum companies?
And that gets us right back into, you know, vouchers and privatization of schools, where, again, you're taking tax dollars that are designed to educate our children and instead sending them in directions that aren't nearly as effective or are downright harmful to mm-hmm. educating our kids when the money that's left is diluted, you know, when so much less goes to all of the individual schools. So you have here not only discussions about curriculum and education, but frankly, about advocacy and action. There's talk about fair maps. There's talk about, you know, what's the role of labor unions in this, especially with the legacy of Act 10.
Yeah.
And what I always get from the Public Education Network is this sense that, you know, we're through just saying, may I have more, please?
Yeah.
You know, it's here's how we're going to let people know what the issues are and what candidates are saying before you go vote, because your vote directly has an impact on the quality of education too.
Yeah. So Heather DuBois-Bernayne, the executive director of Wisconsin Public Education Network, in her opening remarks yesterday really pointed this out very, you know, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but, you know, we are no longer going to be begging for the crumbs. We're going to actually continue to point out that our, you know, what we need and how this, you know, so yeah, stop begging for just your crumbs and advocate for what kids need, what do teachers need, what the communities need. And Pat, yeah, the way you know, saying it, it's like, is this a teacher conference? No, this is a conference of organized people to help anybody who cares about public schools to know how to go in and advocate for these things. So the idea of the science of reading, again, when you hear that, I think my neighbor typically says, well, it's science, so it must be good stuff. This is where coming to the Wisconsin Public Education Network, you can have a conversation with people and find out, is this potentially what's best for your child learning to read, or is there some other things going on? So I like that. You know, there's another session too that tell you what, here's the other thing. The best thing that happens at these networks is in between sessions, when people get to mingle with each other, the connections that are made. So you get to find all of these other advocates. And so again, it's just a great time to be there. And there's a passion. There's not a utopian feeling of we're going to win this. There's a passionate feeling of going, I have people devoted and committed, and I know I'm not in this alone.
Well, especially because, you know, before we all get to feeling too good about all of this, the threats are not just out there, they're growing. We're going to be talking next week in this segment about the many school districts that are now controlled, where the school boards are controlled by conservatives who are downright hostile to the public education that they ran for school board to either serve or dismantle. Primarily, it's been about attacks on LGBTQ students and on books and on curriculum and things like that. But Tim, yeah, everybody feels good that, okay, we're all in this together. But from a local to local to local issue, this isn't just about state legislatures. This is about local decisions that are being made that frankly jeopardize federal funding as well as the quality of education.
Absolutely. I mean, you point that out, Pat. That's a great thing to point out, is to realize that, yeah, truly, yeah, this isn't a bunch of people going, man, we got this. This is a bunch of people going, wow, this is a big attack. As you say, you know, Betsy DeVos, a billionaire, is behind this. You think about that. And so these are your next door neighbors taking on billionaires. And it's a big ask. It's a big task. But I can tell you the passion there, and the way you're going to do this is that you're going to create these connections with all these other advocates to be able to go out there. It's like somebody like, how do we take on billionaires? Diane Ravitch, who's always told me, she goes, they may have the billionaires, but we have the committed, the advocacy, the passionate, the caring people. They have the money. We have the people. So remember that.
We're here with Dr. Tim Slecker, part of Busted Pencils weeknights at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. about the Wisconsin Public Education Network and the Summer Summit that's going on today in Madison. Let's talk more about, especially on summer break here, the things you're talking about on busted pencils. There's a lot of serious stuff going on, but I'm hoping that you're finding ways, like all of us do during the summer vacation, to talk about some of the lighter side of education as well, because I'll tell you, if we don't have a little fun in this, we're all going to go crazy.
Well, we always try to talk about, you know, what are you doing during the summer? Because, you know, guess what? Traditional education is, well, you get the summers off. And actually, we say it's not that you get the summers off. It's that you have an opportunity in the summer to recharge, to retool, to get ready to come back in. And, you know, Pat, if anybody's paying attention to the television, guess what? The back to school commercials are already running. Oh, yeah. And in fact, we had a couple teachers last week that just said, you know, I feel like we just got out of school and I'm already seeing the back to school, you know, and there's kind of this feeling of going, where did the summer go? But then again, uplifting the spirits and saying, you know, the work we have to do as a public school educator, these are teachers, it continues, it doesn't stop. But, you know, we've had some great conversations this summer, got to talk to some new guests, and we've created some new relationships. So, you know, love doing the show every night at 6 o'clock and continue to just really, you know, find all of those ways to support public education, the foundation of democracy in our communities.
Absolutely. And you can learn more about the Busted Pencils and everything about the show over at civicmedia.us. Learn more about how to listen to the show, listen as a podcast, and so forth. Tim Slecker, thank you so much. Good to touch base with you again. Let's not wait so long. Let's get you back on again real soon.
All right, Pat. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you being up with us. So when we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. After this, you're up north. In honor of Harry Potter's birthday, our favorite wizard, Todd Alba, joins us now. There is no scar on his forehead, but there is a matching wardrobe. He and Greg are matchy-matchy in their Milwaukee Brewers jerseys today. You guys are adorbs. Look at you.
Heck yeah.
And not just matching. I mean, they're truly, it's the dark. I really like these. Obviously, yeah. Greg and I like the same jersey. It's the dark. It's even darker, almost a navy blue with the yellow of Milwaukee across the front of it. So I love it.
Yes. So that's very nice.
Todd and I were very excited. Everyone's listening. Pat was like, whatever. Okay.
Whatever. I would say that out of jealousy of not having one, but I really like the one that folks saw on Friday, the Brewers Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And I see that they've got some updated versions, and I'd like to get maybe more of those, but I'm already painted as such a, you know, an old fogey, and I'm afraid how many Hawaiian Brewer shirts does somebody have before there's an intervention? So I'm liking mine. Hey, before I get to the news, because I teased this earlier, I've got to ask, ChatGPT put out a list of the greatest rock singers of all time, and tell me if there's a glaring omission, because the internet sure thinks so. So I know I'm springing this on you, but just think about this list. Freddie Mercury, Robert Plant, Mick Jagger, Jim Morrison, Steven Tyler, Janis Joplin, Axl Rose, Bruce Springsteen, Bono, Roger Daltrey. And
no Elton John?
No Elton John in terms of greatest rock singers of all time.
Billy Joel?
Not on there either. And now here's the part that gets to the debate is the social media is all about. People were wondering, why is Steve Perry trending? Did anything happen to Steve Perry? No, it was all these people commenting that Steve Perry from Journey should have been on that list in his prime.
I agree. I concur.
All right. Cool.
Greg, we're going to put you down as not a Steve Perry, you know, top 10 greatest singers ever.
Journey stan. They're not my jam.
All right. That's okay. I had my moment with Night Ranger, you know, an hour ago. You get yours. Here, Todd, why don't you cheese some people off? What's your most overrated band?
Underrated band?
No, overrated.
Overrated band.
Yeah.
Kiss.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Ah, there we go. So look at you guys, matchy-matchy again. Goodness. All right. Are you still looking for me to provide a little substitution effort during the noon hour for your show today, or did you find somebody capable and qualified, actually?
No, well, you are qualified. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be here at the Brewers game today with our friend Brady Ewing, who appears on our show. He's a former three-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin football and played 3 years in the NFL. He and his family, he has four boys. He and his wife and his parents were all going down to the Brewers just to say thanks for appearing on the show. But before we run out of time, Pat and Greg, I want to get to some serious news of the day. I heard you guys talking earlier about possible vice presidential picks for Kamala Harris, and that may be announced any time. One thing I think went under the radar is that Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance was here in Madison last night for a rally with the college Republicans on the University of Wisconsin campus. He got in quick, he left quick, and warning for those watching on the stream, what you're about to see might not be appropriate for all viewing audiences. J.D. Vance left in his wake
all kinds
of couches. I knew you were going to do this.
Love seats. And dare I say, ottomans. It is a fracas. It is a path of destruction like I have never seen in politics. Be warned, if J.D. Vance comes to your town, keep your furniture off the street.
Oh, dear. What Todd has done is made a bit out of a bunch of discarded furniture that's sitting along West Washington Avenue in Madison right now. And that is a large pile of furniture out on the boulevard waiting to get picked up. And
I mean, this poor ottoman chair have just been turned over, Pat, in the wake of J.D. Vance. I mean, he smashed it. It was incredible.
I really didn't think we were gonna go there with the running mate. But when you've got props like that, you'd be crazy
not to.
Tony writes in the carnage.
That's exactly the word. The carnage. I was driving home last night. I saw this. I'm like, that's where I have to report this tomorrow morning.
You know, last night when the word came out that Kamala Harris and her running mate will be in Western Wisconsin early next week. So I was already in breaking news mode. And then you go setting this up going, J.D. Vance was in Madison last night. I'm like, oh, God, now do I have to, after the show, do I have to crank out another story? Like, no, it's just a bit. And just a damn funny bit when you got the props right there. Good on. Did you like literally just pull off the road when you saw the furniture and said, this is where I'm calling into the show today?
No, I saw it was here last night. I was hoping it'd be here this morning when I woke up.
Well, lucky you.
Lucky me.
Your wish has been granted.
But quick, do you think? I mean, Luke Mathers is calling Tim Walz, a Minnesota governor, and I saw some more stuff last night. Lukester might be right. I mean, I'm a Buttigieg fan. I think Kelly is the right person politically, but maybe Walz is the right person. What do you guys think?
Kelly's sort of fallen off, I feel like. I feel like they're not talking about him as much as they were last week.
But sometimes it's the person that doesn't want it that's not campaigning that gets it. I don't know.
That's right. Well, here's the thing that I just want to avoid. And again, I'm about to, you know, criticize a good man. Tim Kaine, good man, very capable politician, but added absolutely nothing to the Hillary Clinton ticket. Nothing.
Agreed.
And that's my worry is that, you know, Mark Kelly seems to fit the bill in all these areas, but, you know, we haven't heard much of anything from him lately. And so would he kind of Tim Kaine this thing? I was worried that that's what Tim Walz would do. Like, oh, he's had a couple of good remarks, but maybe he's a little too vanilla out there. I frankly think she wouldn't go wrong with either one of those two. But again, between Buttigieg and all the others, I mean, there is an embarrassment of riches right now. The Democratic bench had been so thin for so long. And Joe Biden said as much 4 years ago. He said 4 years ago he was going to be a transition president, and obviously it's come up faster than he would have liked, but there is now an ample bench for Kamala Harris to choose from.
Yeah, it's exciting. And finally, it's a real exciting, 10,000-20,000 people in Atlanta yesterday?
Yeah, 10,000, yeah. Yep.
By Harris. I mean, as the kids say, it's lit. I don't know if they say that anymore, but some of them do.
That is what the kids say.
I'm going to go change my shirt now.
You should not. Todd Alba, have a wonderful time at the game. I will be happily filling for you at noon, and then we will talk again real soon.
Need a leather chair?
No, not that one. Oh. it's been advanced. All right.
I love it.
I will talk to you later. Greg Brock will be back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air.
Absolutely.
Agree? Disagree? Okay.
Agreed.
All right. Say goodbye, Greg.
Goodbye, Greg.
All right. And tomorrow we'll talk about the March on Democracy that's upcoming at the state capitol. We'll talk to one of the organizers, and we'll talk to Assembly candidate Sarah Harrison. Thanks to our guests today, Melissa Baldoff and Tim Slecker. And thanks to all of you for joining us as well. on this Wednesday morning. A reminder that Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday morning, Up North.